Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our best interviews are often highlighted right on the main screen? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
David Strasser joins us with Janney Capital Markets. David, good morning.
How are you?
I think I'm better than Staples. First,
let's talk about how ugly it is, because it's down to a 52-week low of 1119, and that's down 220, down about 17% after that earnings miss earlier today.
They employ 51,000 people. That was the first thing that surprised me. I thought they were smaller than that. This is a big operation. They've got a formula that many of our listeners know. What is the marching orders from Mike Miles Jr. to turn this thing around?
The reality of it is that they're really struggling to figure that out. I think it's getting worse at a faster clip than they anticipated. Obviously, you've got Europe, almost 20% of their business, which is, a lot of that's obviously macro-related. But, they had done a deal a couple of years ago where they bought Corporate Express, which had a lot of exposure to Europe. And I think, obviously, they're regretting having doubled down on European exposure then. It's a lot harder to close things down over there. The lease terms are longer. You have to deal with a lot more complexity in trying to fire people over in Europe. So that remains a problem. And I think actually in the U.S., the retail business, the PC category continues to be very weak. Part of that is, they don't have Apple in the store, and that's where all the PC business seems to be going. They're hoping that Windows 8 helps, rebound that a little bit. They've been testing Apple in Canada. That seems to be going well. There's hope maybe that'll help them transition that to the U.S. And then the contract business, they've lost some key accounts. It seems like OfficeMax in particular has actually picked up some key accounts as well. I don't know if it's one for one the same people, but it feels like, that's going on in that division. So each division on its own was pretty tough.
Just to clear one thing up, this is not Mitt Romney's fault, is it?
I don't think it's Mitt Romney's fault.
He's
probably been blamed for a lot of things as it relates to Bain, but I don't think he can take, I don't think they, I'm, doesn't mean it won't get blamed for him at some point. But
what is their differentiation? The group that you follow is an eclectic group, Target, Home Depot, PetSmart. And I remember the roll-up rage, and everybody was going to make money at strip malls and that. Do we go to Staples anymore, just as one example?
The traffic continues to decline there. I think it's not just – it's more than Staples. You have Staples, Office Depot, Office Max, three big national guys who all of them – there's just too many stores out there. They're all trying to figure out ways to close stores. It's expensive to close stores. It costs probably $150,000, give or take. Then if you add on having to pay off a lease, it can be a couple hundred thousand more than that to close down stores. They're all going in that direction, some more aggressively than others. They're trying to shrink down stores. The 5 or 10,000 square foot store is a much better store than the 20 or 25,000 square foot store that is the industry prototype right now.
Okay, so this is more than a GDP kind of story.
I think it's more than a GDP story. Definitely that hasn't helped, and all the weak job numbers and everything like that has continued to pressure this group. But you could go back. We were talking about it this morning internally. You could go back to '96 when ODP and Office Depot and Office Max Staples and Office Depot tried to merge, and it got turned down, by the FTC. And probably in retrospect, that was a really bad idea. It would probably be a much better industry today.
Well, it'd be a better industry for the companies, but would have been a better industry for the customers. How does Amazon fold into this? Is Amazon competing with Home Depot? Is Amazon competing with Staples? Is Amazon competing with Barnes and Nobles?
Amazon's competing with everybody. There's no doubt about it. And it's not all equal. Obviously, Home Depot, if you kind of walk through that store, a lot of things in that store are not going to get hit by the internet. Appliances don't get hit by the internet. Lumber is obviously not getting hit by the internet. Things that you need same day because you're working on a project is probably not going to get hit. They don't have as big an impact. You go to Staples, a lot of that product obviously can be done online, but their customer base tends to be small and medium-sized businesses, and they've the office product guys did grow up in a direct model. It was a catalog model before the internet, so they have a fairly efficient process to get product to people pretty quick. But Amazon is encroaching on them, there's no doubt about it. you can look at other, I mean, you know, PetSmart, you mentioned earlier, there's WAG.com, which is trying to get more aggressive in the pet category and going after them. You know, the one that seems to be the poster child, which I think is a little bit misunderstood, is Best Buy, right? Everyone thinks that Amazon's putting Best Buy out of business. The TV category has really never gotten that much traction online, and as sales tax gets more fair out there, I think it's going to be even less so. So that one, you know, so it hits you at all different ways.
I wanted to ask you about that. Is Amazon, where are they with sales tax? Are they paying it everywhere now?
No, they're not. It seems like it's gaining a lot of traction at the federal level in Congress. There's, you know, this year, and the dates escape me right now, but you have Pennsylvania, you've got California and Texas all within the next, you know, between August, September, October, that will all be collecting. So that's like over 20%, maybe 30% of the country that will be collecting sales tax that didn't a month or two ago. So it's going in that direction.
Yeah, I was about to ask, eventually they'll be paying sales tax in all 50 states.
Yes, because, you know, or most states, definitely. I mean, and if you, the Republicans have been the ones most opposed to it, but now you're starting to see Republicans come out and say, this isn't a new tax, this is just enforcing existing law. And as that becomes the preeminent conversation, I think it's much more likely to happen sooner.
Just to bring it back to Staples, and then we'll come back. You have a buy on Staples, target price $15. Did you adjust that this morning, or do you enjoy it here at $11.38?
Well, I can't. It's far and away not my best call I've ever made on a stock.
No, that's fair.
No, I mean, we're revisiting it right now. I mean, you know, we put a very quick note out this morning. The conference call just concluded. We're now kind of revisiting the model post the conference call. I mean, realistically, you know, this was clearly a change in sentiment and a change in direction of the business.
David, Walmart tomorrow seems like it's the new Walmart. What should we look for?
I mean, as always, it comes down to, you know, for as big a company it is, you got to focus on what the sales trends are in the U.S., especially the comp store sales trends in the U.S. stores. It tends to always be the biggest factor. What they have said, for the last 6 to 12 months is that they're going to continue and invest in gross margin to drive comp, and that on the flip side, they have costs they can continue to take out of the business. That's what we're looking for coming out of there. We think, May was a pretty good month for them. June was a weaker month. July was a better month as they reset back to school a little bit earlier. And I think any commentary they talk about how back to school has done for them with this reset is going to be important because it's going to probably give you a lot more read into what's happening into the back half of the year.
They're just below a 52-week high, 75.25 back on July 30th. How much better could things get?
Well, you know, I think you have, you know, a couple of things going on here. Not only did they have a very good quarter in the first quarter, not only do the stores look a lot better, but I think this is also part of that defense trade. You know, you do get 2% or so, and at the time that the rally started north of 2% yield, you're definitely getting safety, you're getting defense here. You know, it seems to be like the same as some of the rally and some of these consumer products companies. So you have that benefit and that type of shareholder owning on the defensive side, and you have a business that seems to be getting better, on a somewhat regular basis here. So I think it can continue to move higher. I mean, valuation starts to get a little stretched, but I think that's kind of the case in a lot of these safety stocks.
Have they solved their longstanding apparel problem?
I think they've gone a long way to doing it, and they did it by basically saying, we're going back to basics. We know who we are. We kind of blew it trying to go too much fashion, too high-end. And I think they're doing a really good job with this very back-to-basic strategy.
Well, you know, even some of the executives at Walmart acknowledge that it's a little time-consuming just trying to get out of the store. Has that problem gone away?
Well, I mean, the good news is, one of the reasons is there's so many people in the store, a lot of traffic, even when they're doing well or poorly, there's still a lot of traffic in the store. The bad news is it's a tough one. I mean, they are, one of the things they're doing, a lot more of these smaller stores trying to, I think over time, and when I say time, many years, you could start to see them attempt to cannibalize existing super centers with smaller stores around them. You know, these neighborhood markets, which they're getting more aggressive with, some of their convenience store type products. And, they're still in the very early stages of trying to understand those, but I think that's kind of where they're going in an attempt to do that.
David Stresser with us, Janney Montgomery Scott. We're going to continue. I need to point out, with the markets green, the Dow up 8, the VIX 14.50. That's a wow statistic. Brent crude spikes up 41 cents, 114.44. That's not a recent high. The recent high was 115.11, but that really gets up to the band that we saw on August 13th, about 10 a.m. So we'll need to watch that very carefully. NYMEX, West Texas Intermediate, 93.20. Doesn't have the same pop today. With Brent crude being out of Europe, you wonder if that has something to do with news flow, whether out of Syria or Iran and Israel as well. 114.42 right now on Brent crude. David, I bring up the Walmart site, and I just happened to pick on the $399 Dyson vacuum for only $279. Does Walmart buy a thing the same way they bought a thing 10 years ago?
Do they buy a thing? You mean from as far as you mean their purchase?
Their purchasing. If I assume that Walmart makes all their money on the purchase side, is it the same methodology as 10 years ago?
I mean, things are changing. I mean, if I understand the question correctly, I think they're using a lot more. They're using private label very strategically around to help drive some of that purchasing, to help drive with customers. I mean, I think once again, I hope I'm answering your question the way it was intended.
Sounds good to me.
At those gross margins going down, I think that they are willing to invest in that gross margin to drive comp.
I mean, you look at the different products they sell, and I like your idea. They're getting back to basics. If Staples gets back to basics, what do they got to do? Go back to selling pens?
Well, I don't know if that's the issue for Staples getting back to basics. I think in that category, like I said, I think there's a much bigger macro component there, and I think there's overstored industry there. I think their issues are more structural. I think, Walmart, does control the industry. I mean, I was just looking at a chart I had the other day at how much bigger Walmart is than even the number two seller in this country. It's like more than twice the size, almost three times the size of the number two retailer. They control their destiny in so many ways. You know, obviously the economy can have impacts, on them, gas prices do, but they really have the ability to control their own destiny.
Do they work almost under oligopolistic structure? I mean, we think of it as a perfectly competitive economy, but it's not.
Well, I mean, they're strength is low prices. I mean, remember when they've tried to exercise something like that and add and increase gross margin, or when they've tried to go a little bit higher end stuff, they haven't succeeded at it. So as big as they are, I don't want to call it a niche business, but they've learned more and more over the last 5 years who their customer really is. It's and who is going to trade up. I mean, they've done a great job on the food side, getting the middle class and even slightly above that demographic to their stores. They've had mixed success, although it seems to be getting a little better, of getting people who are shopping food to other parts of the store. I think they do it in the CE area where they have great brands, and they're always trying, they're always testing a lot of things. One thing about the new management there over the last couple of years is I think they're testing just so much. Every time you go in a store, there's new things happening in a store. Some work, some don't.
See you there, David Strasser. Very,
thank
very
you,
valuable.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.